the air conditioning came on. One amen. This is pitiful. We ought to have several praise the Lord's. Oh, folks, pray for me. It's going to be a long night. Amen. I grew up in a four-room block house in Kentucky with no air conditioning, one fan in the house, and Mom and Dad got it. But I don't want to go back to that. Thank God for the good old days, but I like indoor plumbing. And I like air conditioning. And could we all say praise the Lord together? Praise the Lord. All right. I mean, if it has to be for the bathroom and for air conditioning, we ought to praise the Lord for something. But sitting here, you do look like a beautiful crowd tonight. Thank God for you. I think Brother Spivey might have said something about Christian families this week. And I feel like there's nothing any more beautiful than a Christian family. And it's so good to see each one. And I see babies. I was sitting on the platform and I noticed babies here, especially in the back, some even in the foyer. And it has to be their first year at the camp, some of them. And I saw a couple that looked really young, really young. And so I'm going to ask everyone who, this is your first year you've ever been to McPherson Camp. And so you mamas, hold up your babies. And everyone else, your first year, would you please stand? Praise the Lord. Amen. Wonderful. Welcome. Hopefully it's not your last year. You may be seated. Come back. All right. And we also have a great group of young people. And Brother Snyder, thank you for encouraging them to move up. So they've already gotten help. And I'd like for everyone 21 years old and younger to please stand. 21 years old and younger. Wow. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Now, I attended a camp meeting up in Pennsylvania a couple weeks ago. Brother Smith was one of the evangelists. And when Brother Spangler brought me to the camp to show me the camp at Mount of Blessings, it didn't look like too many blessings looking at that camp. It was an old camp, run-down buildings that needs a lot of work. But I want to tell you, God came in that camp. And God moved, and we had services. God came and blessed Brother Smith. We had two Joe Smiths, and God blessed both of them. The altars were lined, and it was similar. It was probably 50% of the congregation were young people. So I'm thankful for the white heads and the bald heads and the young people and the middle-aged, whatever that is, and please don't tell me what it is, but whatever that is. Thankful for all of you. I was sitting here on the platform. We were all hot, you know, but you still looked good. And I was going to say you looked good, but you looked hot. And I didn't think that would sound right, so I won't say that. But we're glad you're here tonight, and we thank the Lord for his help. If you were here last night, and if you were here this morning, that was worth the whole camp. Service last night, the message last night. Thank you, Brother Spivey, for being faithful to my soul. I'm glad my wife and I heard that message and all the rest of us. And not only what he said, but how he said it. I believe he said it with love, and God gave him wisdom. He said it with passion, and I just thank God for that. And the Bible study this morning, tremendous. If you weren't here, you need to get copies of that somehow. However they do that these days, I'm not even smart enough to even say. But anyway, thank God. And so there are some high-powered evangelists here. I'm just not one of them. And I'm the who's he among the who's who here. But yeah, when he said that, I saw people looking on the platform like, who's he? Yeah, but we said the first night I preached that it's not, or first service I preached, not about us, it's about him. Amen. It's about him. And we praise the name of the Lord. God is so good. I'm going to be reading our scripture lesson tonight from John chapter 5. But in the way of introduction, I want to start out in Luke chapter 4. John chapter 5, but we're going to start out with an introduction from Luke chapter 4. And I love this passage in Luke chapter 4. And this, when I read this, this is when Jesus went into the synagogue in Nazareth and when he was starting his earthly ministry. And I don't know what day I would have chosen. If God said you could choose any day during the Gospels there when Jesus was here, you could choose any day you would like to have been there. I don't know what day I would have chosen. I would love to have heard the Sermon on the Mount. I had the privilege of going to Israel, my wife and I, for the first time this past March this year. And I thank God for that. We got to go up on the mountain where Jesus preached. And we got to go other places. But here in Luke chapter 4, I don't know of anything right now I'd rather been to than this. When Jesus walked in that synagogue in Nazareth and was beginning his earthly ministry, and he picked out a passage out of the book of Isaiah that was not random, it was not coincident, it was not an accident. And it says here in Luke chapter 4 and verse 16, so the new folks stood, the young folks stood, and some of you are wanting to stand, so those that want to stand, you stand. If you do not want to stand, do not stand. But those that would like to stand, please stand. Some wanted to, they jumped up. So Luke chapter 4, beginning at verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, that is Jesus. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bear witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. I would love to have been there for that. I would love to have heard those gracious words where the Spirit of the Lord anointed him to preach the gospel to the poor, and he gave different aspects that Isaiah had prophesied that the Messiah would fulfill. And one of those I want to look at tonight is that first one he mentioned in verse 8. "He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted." And then we turn over to our scripture lesson in John chapter 5, and I believe there was a brokenhearted man that had been brokenhearted and broken in health for 38 years. In John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed, and walk." And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Father, we thank you for the word of God tonight. We thank you, Lord, again, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. We pray now you bless our hearts together during this time we have. And Lord, we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. I'd like to preach on the subject of this evening, on the porch, but not in the pool. On the porch, but not in the pool. Here is a man who had been on the porch for 38 years. You know, a lot of things in the Bible people do not believe. I was in the people's service. If you weren't in the people's service this morning, you really missed out. Sister Lloyd shared her testimony, and others shared. It was wonderful. But Brother Hurst blessed me with just a little short part of his testimony, and it was the words of that the Apostle Paul said, and many Christians have said. Paul said it on a ship one day, and Brother Hurst said it in people's meeting this morning, three words: I believe God. Amen. I love it when, you know, scientists and archaeologists, they find out new things and discover new things, and they find out that the Bible is true, and they verify it with archaeology and science, and that's wonderful. I'm thrilled about that, but I don't need that. I believe God. Amen. I believe God. And I'm a Hebrews 10:39 fella. We are not of them that draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Praise the Lord. And Sir William Ramsey was an archaeologist who read the book of Acts, and it didn't match up to what he thought, and he didn't believe it. So he was an archaeologist, and he went over to Asia Minor and began to dig, and he was going to prove the book of Acts was not true. And as he began to dig around in that area, everything he was finding was verifying that it was true. And after a number of years, he became a believer. And we are reading tonight in John chapter 5 of this pool of Bethesda that for years people said that never existed. Well, back in March, I got to see the ruins of the pool of Bethesda, and it did exist. Praise the Lord. Thank God for His word tonight, that let God be true and every man a liar that would conflict or try to contradict God's holy word. And then they said, well, it had five porches. That's ridiculous. Why would anything have five porches? That's odd. There's nothing else like that. But then when they got digging, they found out there were actually two pools. There was an upper pool and a lower pool, and one was like a reservoir to fill the other pool, and so there was a porch on all four sides and a porch in the middle of the two pools. So there was five porches, just like the Bible said. I believe God. Praise the Lord. Well, Brother Smith's been telling us about these Jews and the Gentiles and some of their conflict, but there was one thing that us Gentiles have in common with those Jews, and it says here there was a feast of the Jews. Now, they wouldn't eat that bacon Sister Arnold fixed yesterday morning, but I tell you what, times like that, I'm thankful I'm a Gentile, brother. And that was good. But they liked to eat. They had these feasts, and I realized it was more than about eating. It was religious. It was part of who they were as a people. But there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went. Jesus went. And it says there was at the Jerusalem by the sheep market, a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda. I like that name. That's a beautiful name. The word Bethesda means house of mercy. So tonight, could we call this tabernacle Bethesda? We're in the house of mercy tonight. Amen. You know, I got saved when I was 12 years old. It was kind of unusual. Brother Keaton said, God custom makes his saints. You don't have to get saved in the camp meeting, but you can get saved in the camp meeting. And thank God for camp meeting. But I got saved in the 1978. I got saved in the year 1984, but it was a 1978 red Ford van, Econoline van, on Interstate 75, in between Lexington, Kentucky and Richmond, Kentucky, and that old van became a Bethesda to me. A house of mercy. As a 12-year-old boy bowed his head and asked God for Christ's sake to forgive him of his sins. And I thank God for March the 4th, 1984, and the day that God changed my life forever. Praise the Lord. And oh, there's been so many Bethesdas in my life, and I pray there'll be a Bethesda here tonight for each and every one of us, a house of mercy, because you need that when you want to get saved. I believe Charles Spurgeon, when he said, the best of men need mercy. The best of men need mercy. Thank God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And so there was this place, a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And again, I picture us tonight being at that pool. Now, gathered around that pool was a bunch of sick people, a bunch of needy people. I mean, physically, they were laying on couches. They had cast. Their bodies were broken. Some were paralyzed. Some, it says, were blind. Some couldn't walk. Others could walk with a halt. Others were withered, and some versions would say paralyzed. This was a sad group of people gathered around this pool. And I'm not saying you're a sad group of people, because I just told you it was a beautiful group of people, and you are. And tonight I'm preaching to the choir. I'm not taking back anything I said. You look good. But man looks on the outward appearance. And the more you get finding out about people, I've been under conviction for a long time that we are living in a hurting world. And it's not just sinners that are hurting. There are saved and sanctified people tonight that their hearts are bleeding inside. And some of them are here in this service tonight. And we are at the Bethesda. Tonight we're where we need to be. We're at the house of mercy. We've come to a good place tonight. And so while we look good on the outside and are dressed up and put on a smile for everyone else, God knows what's going on inside. And I'm not just talking about spiritual needs. There are other kinds of needs. And we are having a special service in the morning, a healing service. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about this message, and I believe God gave me something this evening that I can share with you, and it's this. I do not believe that it is always God's will to heal us, but I do believe that it is always God's will to help us. May not be God's will to heal you. I believe in it, and I've seen it. I've witnessed miraculous, divine, instantaneous healing, but I do not believe it is always God's will to heal, but I do believe it is God's will always to help. Amen. And He promised grace. And so there's this group of people, and they're gathered around this pool waiting on the troubling of the water. And the account says that the first one that stepped into the pool after the troubling of the water was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So they're at this pool, there's these five porches, and there seems to be some kind of program going on, but the program wasn't working for everybody. It was working for a limited group. There were some people that were getting help, but definitely not everyone. But you know, I'm glad God has a foolproof program. But here's a program that was helping some folks, but there was a whole lot of others it wasn't helping. And there was one man that had been coming there for 38 years. One man had been sick. It says in verse 5, he was a certain man. He'd been there. He had an infirmity 38 years. And I think of a song I remember hearing years ago. In the shadow of the steeple, souls are dying. In the shadow of the steeple, your church steeple, my church steeple, in the shadow of this camp meeting, souls are dying. And I thought how sad it is to be on the porch, but not in the pool. For there to be victory close by, but not to have it, not to experience it. For it to be available, it's available, but to leave McPherson Camp without it. How sad that would be. And so here's a man been coming to the camp for 38 years. He'd been coming to the pool for, he'd been sick for 38 years. Maybe when he first started coming, there was more of a zeal and more of an anxiousness and more of a desire and maybe more hope. But after a while, he just wasn't fast enough. He said, someone always beats me to it. And I don't know if he got to the place where he even tried anymore. Realize it's just hopeless. And yet there must have been a little string of hope there, a little ray of hope, because he kept coming. And so I think about our churches. There are people that come and been coming for years. But some have needs, and we all have needs. We all have needs. And so there are folks that are blind, and I thought about our spiritual vision. God wants to help us with our spiritual vision. We talked a little bit about that the other service that we were in, and God wants to help our spiritual vision. And God wants to help us tonight if we are halt, and if we are crippled. And one of the definitions of being halt is to be uncertain, to have defects. To have defects. I want to tell you, friend, every one of us here tonight have defects. You say, but preacher, I'm saved. You have defects. Preacher, I am sanctified holy. I was in the clear on the message the brother preached on sanctification. You still have defects. And one of our early holiness leaders, John Fletcher, said something like this: 1,000 infirmities are consistent with a holy heart, yet not one willful sin. So tonight we all have infirmities. We're gathered around the pool. Tonight we come to the house of mercy. But I love what Paul wrote to the Romans in 8:26. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. So tonight we're going to have infirmities till we leave this world. God will take care of that in glorification. But you're not going to get that till this mortality puts on immortality. And so even saved and sanctified, we all have issues. We all have needs. And another definition of the word halt is to be lame by wounding. And I thought of something I've heard about the military, and it's a project to help those that have been hurt in the service of our country, and it's called something like this, the Wounded Warrior Project. You know, we need something like that in the church. There's a lot of wounded warriors, and there may be a lot of them here tonight. To be lame by wounding, you're hurting tonight. Over many different reasons. And the other thing it says, they were blind, they were halt, and they were withered. And again, one of the definitions is to be paralyzed. And we can be in such a state spiritually that we're just not making much progress. We're not growing very fast in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when they talk about outreach, well, we're just kind of spiritually withered, and we've lost vigor and lost freshness, and we need help. So tonight we've come to the right place. We've come to the Lord. We've come to the camp meeting, and we've come to Bethesda. We've come to the house of mercy, and we don't want to just sit on the porch, but we want to get in the pool. We want God to help us. Amen. And so here's a man that had been coming 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he'd been now a long time in that case, Jesus asked him what seems to be a ridiculous question. I mean, just look, isn't it obvious? Here's a man that's sick, very sick, and has been very sick very long, 38 years. But Jesus asked the question, wilt thou be made whole? And I can almost hear our Lord still asking that to us, to me. To you, do you want me to help you? Wilt thou be made whole? But you know, this man did what we do a lot of times. He did. It was a yes or no question. But he didn't say yes or no. He made an excuse. We've all been through things. But folks, it's time to stop making excuses and stop playing the blame game and blaming whatever it was that happened. And it's time to answer the question. Wilt thou be made whole? Sir, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming another step down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. You see, there was a porch, and there was a pool, and there was a program, but one day a person showed up, and that was our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I believe he's here tonight. I believe he's been in this camp from the very beginning. Thank God, 132 years, God has been helping, saving people, sanctifying people, meeting people's needs. Thank God, but the great physician, again, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one that stepped on the porch that day, Jesus Christ, that came and said and met all of those people. And there were a lot of people that had a lot of needs. And yet there was a certain man that had a need. And Jesus met his need. And he wants to meet our needs tonight. Yes, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And the Hebrew writer said, For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so again, I've had a conviction for a long time. We're living in a hurting world. There's a lot of hurting people in our churches. Tonight there's a lot of Christian parents that are brokenhearted. Again, I go back to my introduction that Jesus read out of Isaiah about the Spirit of the Lord hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. Thank God for the Christians who all of their children are saved. But not all Christian parents have all their children that are saved. And looking at it, you have these two groups of parents, and from the outside, it looks like they raised their families the same way. They raised them in church, and they taught them the things of God, and they had family altar and devotions, and went to church and revival and camp meeting, and one over here, maybe all of their children are saved, and maybe one over here, two of the four are saved, and maybe one over here, again, good people, look like they raised their kids like everybody else, and none of theirs are saved. I don't have the answer, but I know there's some parents that are hurting and grieving. There's some wives tonight, their husbands have walked out on them, and they're hurting and grieving, and vice versa. Wives that have walked out on husbands, and husbands that have walked out on wives, and there are people that have been abused, and there are children and young people that have gone through things that no one should ever have to go through, and they're hurting. And tonight there are pastors and pastors' wives and pastors' kids that are hurting because of some things that's happened in the church. And not only is it the pastors, but the lay folk of the church, they're hurting because of some things that have happened in the church. And so tonight I feel like we're that group. That group that have come to we're on the porch. We're at the pool. We're waiting for something. And I want to tell you tonight, God wants to meet our needs. God wants to touch our hearts. He asks us tonight, wilt thou be made whole? And I just believe tonight there's something that every one of us would like to bring to Jesus tonight. If you're a Christian here tonight, I believe there is something that you'd like to bring up on the porch and get into the pool, but more importantly, you'd like to say, Jesus, maybe it's a child, one of your children, that needs prayer. Maybe it's you yourself. Lord, my heart's broken. I'm bleeding. Lord, I need your help. Maybe it's a companion. And you know, we have all kinds of issues and situations. There's health issues and emotional issues. And as a pastor, I've walked through those dark valleys, and you folks know what I'm talking about. When I talk about hurting, and then I get meeting other people and talking to other people, and I think, man, I thought I've hurt, but I don't know what it is compared to what some people's gone through. But I have gone to the nursing home. When that family did not want to do it, they you know, it hurts when it was always someone else. So some of you, let me rephrase that. Some of us tonight are dealing with things that we always thought it would be someone else. Someone else's family. Amen? But I went to the nursing home with the wife that didn't want to do it and the children that didn't want to do it, but the father and the husband had Alzheimer's and they couldn't do anything with him, and no one wants to do it. But I was with them when they had to admit her husband, their father, into the nursing home. And they loved him, and they wept, and their hearts were broken. And some of you know what I'm talking about tonight. You may have walked down a similar road. If not, there's something coming to your mind, and you've hurt, you've been around hurting people. And Jesus had compassion on hurting people. He's still touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Amen. And so tonight, I thought it'd be good if we would gather around the front of this tabernacle. And in my mind, I'm just picturing we're at Bethesda. We're at the pool. And a man has showed up tonight named Jesus. And he wants to meet our needs. Maybe you have a spiritual need, an emotional need, a physical need, a financial need. I don't know. Maybe it's in your family. Maybe it's in your church. But there's just something you want to bring it to Jesus. And so tonight, I thought I wanted to open up this altar. And I know there's not room for everyone. But I want everyone to come. Everyone that has something you'd like to bring to Jesus. I believe God wants to do something for us here tonight. And so since there may not be room, I want as many as can, we could just gather. We don't even have to kneel. You can kneel if you want to, but we could just gather around the front, and we can line down this aisle, we can line down that aisle, and we can all just come to this house of mercy and say, God, we need your help. And we want to present our needs. And maybe tonight your heart's broken, and there's something, it may be a spiritual need, a physical need, emotional need, financial need, a mental need, whatever. God specializes in things thought impossible. And He can do what no other power can do. And I say again, I don't believe it's always God's will to heal, but I do believe it's always God's will to help. And while He may not take that thorn that's really hurting you tonight, He may not take it out. He'll do for you what He did for the Apostle Paul. He'll give you grace to withstand it. So let's all stand tonight. And if you'd like to bring something to Jesus, maybe it's one of your children, it may be one of your grandchildren, but in your heart, you want to bring them to Jesus. It may be something you're going through in your own life, something going on in your church. I just want to invite all of God's people. And if you have a spiritual need yourself, just come on down to this altar and down these aisles and let's gather in. Let's bring our needs to Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. And I'm going to ask, sir, Bible teacher, Brother Smith, if he would come to the podium and lead us in a prayer as we bring our needs to Jesus tonight. We bring our hurts. We bring our infirmities to the Lord. Thank God. He still can meet your need and help you tonight. Brother Smith is coming, and we're all going to bring our needs before God. God has victory. God has help. He wants to touch us tonight. Praise the Lord. Let's all lift as Brother Smith comes, and let's join in. Praise God.